Well, good to be with you all. How many of you, let me ask this question right up front. How many of you have never, that you know of, gotten a prophetic word and shared it with somebody else that's kind of new to you? Okay, cool. How many of you have, like, a lot? It's a lot of times, like, you've, it's fine, you can, okay. How many of you a little bit, kind of in between, okay. That gives me a good feel. Here's what we'll do. I'd like to just give a real quick flyover of just some basics of what the gift of prophecy is. And then we're going to practice, experiment together, have fun together. So, okay? So, let's just pray together and get started here. Father, thank you that you do not have a communication problem, that you are speaking, and you've given us good ears. I bless the good ears in this room that you have opened up. David said, I've got ears the Lord opened for me. Well, we can say the same thing. In fact, I ask you to bring a revelation to us of times when it was your voice and we thought it was our thoughts. Times when it was your voice and we thought it was something else. Bring that memory to us, and I ask that in this house there would be more and more and more natural, normal flow of prophecy, and it would just be a way of life. And hearing you and speaking words that come from you, you can't get any better than that. And so let your word flow here like rivers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. How many of you grew up in a church that the gift of prophecy was normal? It was really regular. Okay. A few of you did. That's wonderful. Yay. How many of you the rest of you did not, I'm assuming. Okay. That's not a word of knowledge. That's just me. I figured that out. So, yeah, I as well grew up in a nonprofit organization, and so it was nonprofit. So we did not believe that the gifts of the Spirit still were in operation today. However, I look at different moments when people shared words and encouragement, and it was definitely prophetic. I actually believe that I'm doing what I do because at one point in time, a little lady named Sarah Neischwender, I grew up in a Pennsylvania Dutch church, and a little lady named Sarah Neischwender, she was about that tall and that same amount wide, and she came up to me one Sunday, and we had this little church, little pulpit, little raised area, and when we did speeches and stuff, we'd move everything off, and then we'd do our speeches, and then we'd put everything back. And the thing of honor you got to do is one of us kids got to take the pulpit Bible back up. And so I'm carrying this big pulpit Bible back up. I was about 8 years old. I'm carrying it back up to put it back up on the pulpit. And Sarah came up to me and she said, one day, she didn't even know she's prophesying. She said, one day you're gonna stand in front of people and encourage them with the Bible. You are going to be a pastor. And something lit inside of me because I wanted to be a music teacher for the longest time, and honestly to have my own rock band. So that didn't work out really well. So, but there it was. So that was a word that went down into my spirit and really stuck with me. So here's just a couple things about prophecy, and I'd like to read this from 1 Corinthians 14, first couple verses. Paul says here, follow the way of love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So he did not say, be passively open to the gifts of the Spirit. I hear people say, well, yeah, if God wants to give me a gift, he can give it to me. No, he's saying there, earnestly desire them. Actually, to crave them. Actually, the word there for earnestly desire could be translated like if someone would hold you or I underwater and we'd come up, that would be the word. It would be this, I need this, we need this to live. So When and especially, he says, desire all the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And I have been going after desiring them more and more, because the gifts are not for simply for us to say, I got this gift, you got this gift. The gifts are to give away. So you're praying for someone who needs healing. They get the gift of healing when you pray for them. It's not like you had the gift of healing. They get the gift. So we want to be gift distributors. I want to be faster than Amazon Prime into you know, just just getting gifts to people when they need them. So a couple things. One, what is prophecy? And here's a very simple definition. It's hearing from God and sharing, speaking what he said. And the word in the Old Testament, it's a great word. Word in the Old Testament for prophecy means to bubble up, like water bubbling up and bubble forth. And it's like a river coming out of us. And the river of God, Isaiah said, when the river of God flows, and he's speaking there, I believe, Isaiah 47:9, he's speaking a prophecy. He said, everything lives where the river flows. And I have found where there is free flowing of prophetic declarations and words, life happens. The more we hear what God has to say, the less we listen to any other voice. And he's bringing us into that place where I want to think about what God is saying to me and about me, and not what everybody else has to say, or else you get all over the map. Second thing is, how does it happen? And there seem to be three components that come that God uses when he speaks or he gives us a prophetic word to deliver. The first one is revelation. It's what you see. It's what you hear. And I have found that people receive prophetic words from the Lord unique to them. Some people actually see words in their mind. Other people get pictures. Some people hear a voice. Don't think you're going crazy when you hear a voice. Some people hear a voice. But for most people, it's kind of a thought. And that's where it gets muddy. We think, well, I just thought all the thoughts are my thoughts, when actually God is talking to us, and his voice may very well sound like your own voice or the voice that goes on inside of your head. It may very well be. Now, the second part of prophetic, getting a prophetic word, is there's revelation, then there's interpretation. What does that mean? You get a picture. What does that mean? And the third part then is application. What do I do with that? Now, where we can get into trouble is when we have a revelation and we move in our own mind, in our own wisdom, to tell people what it means, and then to tell people what to do, when God may just want us to give someone the revelation. Because what that picture means to you may be different than what it means to them. You know, if you, how many of you are dog lovers? Okay, so if yeah, there, and cat, was that a dog? Oh, you're a cat lover too. Four cats, bless you. Yes, I love them both. They love us too. But if you get a picture of a dog and you're a dog lover, that means something good. But if you're afraid of dogs and you say, I got a picture of a dog, that means something else. So often when we should really share the revelation and just wait on the Holy Spirit and see if he's actually saying something to the person. Here's one of the first times I stepped out with a revelation that I had no clue what it meant. It was scary. It was after a service, and I was up front, and a real tall young man came up. And so I stood up on the step, the first step, so I could look him in the eye. So I stood up, and do you ever have that time where words are coming out of your mouth, and you want to catch them, but they come out? So I said one sentence to him. He stood there. I said, how can I pray for you? He says, God told me he'll tell you. I thought, thank you. Okay. And so he stood there with his eyes closed like this. And I said, okay, Lord, I just bless. And I said his name. I just bless Anthony. I bless Anthony. And I came out. I said, You're going to amount to something, honey. Now, I don't typically call men honey, as a rule. I have never worked at a diner, and so I don't typically call people honey that I don't know other than my wife. So I don't, you know. So I said, you're going to amount to something, honey. And his eyes flashed open, and he just stared at me. And he said, what did you say? I thought, And so I said what I just said. And he said, I'm getting my mom. I thought, great, I'm in trouble now. I mean, this, you know. So he gets his mom, and his mom comes up, and she's standing with him, and he said, tell her what you said. And I said this, and she looks like at him, and I said, would someone tell me? Like, I'm dying here. Would someone please tell me what's going on? And she said, did he tell you? I said, no one's telling me anything right now. Please, someone say. She said, well, this is the anniversary of his father's death today. And he came up to get a father's blessing from you. And his dad used to call him Sonny when he was a little boy. But when he was a little boy, he couldn't pronounce Sonny. So he said Honey, and that became his nickname. And his dad called him Honey. So in the last days before his dad died, his dad was delirious in the hospital. A lot of sedation, etc. And so the last phrase that the father said to his son was, you're not going to amount to anything, honey. And so he lived under that thing for years. And in that moment, the Lord gives me this thing to say that made absolutely no sense to me. I didn't have the interpretation. I didn't have the application, but he got it. And so I want to encourage you to risk it, because there are times, I imagine if I hadn't risked it, what would happen? Anthony's now married, has kids, stops by our office. He's moved out of state. Every now and then he stops by the office to come in and talk. And he says, Dave, I will never forget the day that you, I said, well, I will never forget it either. In fact, I said, I use it as an illustration different places I go. But I want to just encourage you that at times the Lord will give you things to say that make no sense to your brain. But they could very well be, you know, they could very well be a word of life. Our youth pastor talks about the same thing. When I met our youth pastor years back, she was working at another ministry. I didn't know that she was going to be our youth pastor. And she came to pray for me. And somebody had said to me, Dave, when you open your mouth, nothing fresh comes out. It's just old hose water. And so Abby, our youth pastor, prayed for me shortly after that was said to me. And she said, you know what? When the Holy Spirit gives you things, you tune into him and fresh water comes out. It's not old hose water. It's like the Holy Spirit used her to go in a race. And she said, what does that mean? I don't even know what old hose water means. So she just, you know, but she just, it just came out. So I encourage you to engage your spirit, not necessarily your brain, because we could change things. That was a life-giving word to me. That was just a life-giving word to me. So something else for us to really get deep in our heart. Who can prophesy? It's not just special people. Here's a verse, 1 Corinthians 14:31. You all can prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:31, you all can. Everybody can. In fact, I love teaching children. My daughter's our children's pastor, and she teaches kids when they're old enough to talk that they can hear words from God for one another. And God isn't, they have a little book they put together, God has nice things to say to you. And they learn how to hear God, and they share with one another. She said the other week, the five-year-olds were blowing one another away, prophesying to one another in their five-year-old class. So it's not an age thing. It's not a special gift thing. It's all of us. And I have this dream that everybody can, you know, get into that flow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That fire and brimstone, you know, with them. Yeah. They're going to tune you out like...
Right.
And I call myself the potty mouth prophet. Because I, you know, I might say, God don't give a flying about, you know, some of the stuff you did, as long as you're willing to repent. And if, you know, what if we have another drink? Ask him for forgiveness, say, I'm going to try harder, and just keep trying.
Yeah.
And but I use language they understand. And I have a friend of mine that says, oh, well, you shouldn't be cussing it here. I said, but sometimes that's what you have to do to get to some of these kids.
Yeah. Well, I would say that when we share, we should be who we are, and we shouldn't change our voice. We shouldn't, don't feel like, God doesn't need special effects to make the word more effective. So we don't have to talk in a voice that's not us. And I really would encourage, I think we need to, here's this great instruction from Paul in 1 Thessalonians. It's 5:19-22. Don't put out the Holy Spirit's fire. Now, are there crazy things that can happen in prophecy? Yes. Are there silly things that people have said trying to be prophetic? Yes. But it's worth it. You know, it's really, you know, it's really worth it. You know, a friend of mine at his church had some people that were mad at each other, and they got into prophecy wars. And so so one guy got up and he said, Yea, I the Lord would say unto thee today that I am no longer with you. I'm gone. I've left you. And there was a special needs young man in the church who stood up and he said, well, if God's not here, who's talking? And so he was right on, you know? So there have been some crazy things that have happened in the name of God told you. You know, you saw Tim last night. Well, Tim got married a couple years ago, and Tim is now 52. And Tim was, you know, single for 50 plus years. There were lots of people in our church that had prophetic revelation from the Lord that Tim was to marry either them or their niece or their daughter. And if Tim married all of them, he'd have lots of wives. So he'd have more wives than Solomon. So, you know, there can be, you know, things that happen with prophecy. But Paul is writing saying, hey, just because there have been some errors, don't put out the Holy Spirit's fire, and don't avoid gifts of the Spirit. My church was cessationist. They believed that the gifts of the Spirit ceased when the Bible was canonized. And so they believed that partly because there were mistakes made and errors made. And so it's easier just to shut it all down than to walk with discernment. But Paul said, don't put out the Holy Spirit's fire. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. Like, don't. Oh, brother, here we go. Now, don't treat them with contempt. Instead, test everything. Then he said, hold on to the good. And the word there for good means that which harmonizes with the character of God and with his word. It's the word for good there is in harmony with. So it agrees with what God... If a prophetic word doesn't agree with the written word of God, then no. And if it doesn't agree with the character of God, that's why how we share it, you know? God's not mad. He's not angry. And he's not Shakespearean. So, you know, so we don't have to talk in a different voice, you know? We just, you know, so, and then it says, avoid every kind of evil. And the word there for evil is really an interesting word. It actually means flesh. It doesn't mean satanic. It means avoid fleshy things. Things that are condemning, confusing, and contradicting. So sort through those things that are condemning, confusing, and contradicting. Here's just a couple things I would say. resist the fear of making mistakes. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. In fact, I feel like in the kingdom of God, we should be the most, you know, risk-safe zone. Step out and to learn. And we need to be honest, too. Sometimes we're not honest enough. I grew up in Pennsylvania. I understand. We're not always honest in Pennsylvania. In fact, I think sometimes PA stands for passive aggressive. We don't really tell people, you know, we'll tell somebody else, boy, that word was like, you know, and then the guy will say, how was it? Oh, praise God, that was great. You know, we're not really helping that brother or sister if we don't say, you know what you said was wonderful, the way you said it. And so we've had to roll up our sleeves and talk honestly with people, say, that was wonderful, but you talk too much. Or you talk too angry. Or when you said, yea, I, the Lord, would say, I understand you're confused. I'm confused from time to time. So I actually had somebody share that word, and we had to say, first of all, you don't submit a prophetic word by talking in the first person. So you say, well, I've heard certain, you know, seasoned prophets say, the Lord is saying, I'm yours on this. That's a seasoned prophet. And they've come to the place where they've learned how to discern that. But as we're learning how to prophesy and we submit it to one another, I really encourage people not to talk like you're God. You know, Ben, I would say to you, I would really encourage, as we're learning, not to do that. Just to say, hey, Ben, I feel like the Lord put this picture on me, put this word on my heart. Let me share it with you. Now, one final thing, and then we're going to practice this. Prophecy, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:3, he says, everyone who prophesies speaks to men, or men, women. Actually, the word there isn't just male only, it's the word for humanity. Everybody who prophesies speaks to people for three things: their strengthening, their encouragement, and their comfort. Okay? Strengthening. A strengthening word says to someone, communicates to someone, God's at work in you. God's at work in your situation. You don't need to be afraid. He's at work. God's doing something right now. God's active. Encouragement means God's working through you. There's some things happening through your life. That word that Abby gave to me was, it's not old water, it's fresh water that comes through. That was saying, oh, I'm hearing from God. And words of life are coming through. That was a very timely word for me. And the word for comfort, a comforting word says, God's walking with you. You are not alone. When I shared that word with Anthony, God is telling you that you are going to amount to something. You are not a failure. You're not going to live to be a failure. See, those words are encouraging. Cindy Jacobs recently said, it's time we put a new face on the prophetic. And it's not this wild-haired, finger-shaking, condemning word. It's a life-giving, encouraging word. Even we say, don't we give correction? You know, even correction can be given in a life-giving way. One time the Lord impressed on me when I was praying for a young man that he's stuck and addicted to pornography. And I didn't say, yea, the Lord would say to you, you're addicted to pornography. I felt like the Lord said to me, this is sensitive. You want to minister life to him. And so I began to pray for him, and I said, the Lord loves the purity of your heart. And he started crying. He says, yeah, my heart wants to be pure, but I've been stuck. He started to confess. He confessed it. See, I didn't he confessed it. He said, I've been stuck in this. Can you pray? And we prayed together for him to have liberty and victory over, and the Lord get to the root of why he was addicted to pornography, why he went to a counterfeit comfort to have the needs of his heart met. But see, that approach was in the strengthening, encouraging, comforting zone, not the condemning zone. Because people are afraid of prophetic times. They think, boy, I don't want, you know, we have prophetic ministry Sundays several times a month where teams of five people, children, youth, and adults are on a team, and they pray for people. And there are people initially were afraid. I don't want to sit in a group, and they're going to say, hey, last week I saw you didn't have devotions, or, you know, so I don't want to do that. But, you know, a number of years ago, one of my first encounters with a prophetic ministry team was in, we went to a conference at Rick Joyner's facility, and there was a little boy about 8 years old, and then there were some middle-aged adults and an older man, and they prayed for us some really timely words for my wife and I. And as I was getting up to leave, the 8-year-old boy grabbed my hand and he said, I feel like God showed me a picture of you walking through a dark corridor, dark hallway. And I feel like Satan is going to try to take you out. But you're going to come out the other side and you're going to strengthen and encourage a lot of people when you come out the other side. Now, I'll tell you, this young man was sharing this word and the older man in the group was going like, sorry, buddy. You know, he's a kid. What do kids know? And he was, you know, it was that look that kind of said that. So, well, 3 months later, I was diagnosed with cancer. And after the shock of it all, and Sherry and I are laying in bed at night trying to sleep, boom, both of us, that little boy's word 3 months ago was a word of life for us. That, see, like Isaiah said, the words of God, the prophetic word of God, can be like the rain and the snow come down from heaven. Now, when the rain comes, it hits you right away. Anthony knew right away when I shared that word about you're going to amount to something, honey. He knew right away what that meant. The word from the 8-year-old boy was like snow. And it sat on my mountain for 3 months. And then when I needed it, it melted and trickled down into my life. So sometimes a word may not mean something to someone. Don't be discouraged when they say, I don't quite know what that means, but I'll pray into it. Don't be discouraged. Just trust that God will watch over his word to perform it. And if it was just us, he can take care of that. If it was just our flesh, okay, he can take care of that. But I want us to be risk-free. So here's what we're going to do. I would like someone to volunteer to receive, to have people pray for you and see what the Lord gives them for you. So do I have one volunteer? Start. There we go.